This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Welcome on in to our Monday, February 17th edition of Sports Talk. Steve Geller with Charlie Long bringing you till 8 p.m. this evening. This hour we're going to talk to Matthew Paris, Saints beat reporter for the Times-Picayune and the Advocate. Plenty going on with the assistant head coaching search, with the offensive defensive coordinator, also the cap situation this team, the big buzz obviously. Will Derek Carr be around next season? Still up in the air. Kellen Moore at his introductory press conference, very vague about Derek Carr's future with this squad. And we'll find out soon enough, though, as this black and gold bunch gets assembled and ready for the combine. The coaching staff, I should say, getting assembled, getting ready for the combine coming up next week. You would think that Kellen Moore and the Saints would want to have all their pieces in place as they go to scout talent for the upcoming NFL draft, which will kick off in April. 7:30, we'll talk to Koki Riley, LSU baseball and football writer for the Times-Picayune and the Advocate. What a weekend for the LSU baseball squad. A sweep over Purdue Fort Wayne, and the Tigers did it pretty dominating fashion. Not a ton of home runs, but enough interesting, you know, ways they put up points on the runs on the board for this squad. And what was really impressive just watching the pitching staff. Charlie talked about how impressive they were, starting pitching and the relief pitchers really showing up for the Bayou Bengals. Looking at some of the standouts from the weekend for LSU, Daniel Dickinson ended up with going 5-for-9 at the plate with a home run, 7 RBI. Ashton Larson had 7 RBIs, 4-for-6 on the whole weekend. Just really impressive from guys, you know, new to this squad that we didn't see here last year. And that was going to be a big thing, too. How are the new faces going to fit in here on Jay Johnson's team? And I think we're seeing great returns early on. We'll get into that a ton more with Koki Riley after the 7 o'clock news break. Looking at the All-Star weekend, kind of got into it in triple option. Wasn't really very exciting for the NBA side of things. Got to be honest, didn't pay attention to the three-point competition, the slam dunk competition, and even the game last night. Just, I don't know what they've done with the format there, but I feel like NBA All-Star Weekend is definitely broken and needs to be fixed. I don't know which is worse right now, and what you would think, Charlie, is the NFL's NFL All-Star Weekend worse or the NBA's?
That's tough. NHL's the clear-cut best. I mean, this Four Nations thing has been fantastic. Steve, they tried to make the change, though, and that's the issue. And apparently an anonymous GM had cited via Front Office Sports that Adam Silver is obsessed with tournaments. That's why you got the in-season tournament, you have the play-in tournament, and now you have this kind of all-star break tournament. I don't know. I thought it was kind of a flop. And I know a lot of players were kind of mixed on it, too. Kind of thinking how dumb it was just to play to 40. What year was it, Steve? I want to say it was back in the late 20-teens where they did like a all-star game for charity, right? Do you remember that? where they played to a certain number.
Right.
And it was very competitive, very entertaining. And then they went away from it, and it's just been bleh ever since. I don't know. The NBA is, yes, I agree, they got to do something because it's just not a good product right now. But to your point, Steve, earlier about LSU's pitching staff, I went to D1 Baseball and got some numbers for you here. I think it's pretty fascinating. As far as, you know, strikeouts per nine, LSU is now fourth in the nation with 15 strikeouts per nine behind just a couple other SEC schools like Florida, South Carolina, and Mississippi State. But 15 strikeouts per nine innings early on in this opening weekend series sweep. So good stuff from the Tigers on the mound there. We'll talk more about that with Cokie later on. So, but Steve, I was impressed, you know, even with the level of competition, as we've mentioned multiple times, being Purdue, Fort Wayne, obviously you're not in the gauntlet of SEC play just yet.
Sure, it's like the Tigers preseason right now.
This is where you're supposed to really start building confidence early on, especially as a new team with a ton of new faces. We've talked about that as well. I think 25 new players on this roster between the 14 transfers and 11 freshmen. So, this is the time where, you know, you kind of build your confidence up. You feel good about yourself going into SEC play. And then they have five games this week. Southern on Tuesday afternoon at 2 p.m. Nichols on the road in Thibodaux at 6:30 p.m. on Wednesday. And then they have a weekend series against Omaha. So five games. We'll see how they do. Go 5-0 and just kind of look impressive like they did this opening weekend series. I think that you just kind of want to see them continue to build upon that opening weekend sweep because it was so, so impressive to see what they did on the mound against Purdue Fort Wayne. That, like, maybe there were two innings, I think, Steve, maybe even three if you could stretch it, where Purdue Fort Wayne's bats got anything going. Anything. And they pitched three games.
Right.
Nine innings for each. The 10-run rule was not in effect this weekend. They pitched 27 innings this weekend.
Two whole earned runs for Fort Wayne.
And that's what I'm saying. And, like, especially with on Sunday, we talked a little bit about Chase Shores as well, Steve, where, you know, this is a guy that is making his return from Tommy John surgery in his first live game action since March of 2023. And the kind of jitters a little bit early there, you know, he was still fine in the first inning. He gave up that first run, but then he was just locked down for the next four innings. And he ended up going five and picking up his first win of the season. So, yeah, man, it was awesome. Great opening weekend series sweep. I'm looking forward to talking with Cokie and kind of breaking it all down with him. You know, it was just impressive. And now you kind of look ahead and see what's next. The Southern and Nichols midweek games. I know Jay was talking about how he's excited to kind of get after it and continue to build upon this fast start against a pair of in-state opponents. And my biggest question is kind of who's next? You know, like who's going to be the starting pitcher for this midweek games? Because, you know, when we saw that weekend rotation was set, it was a lot of names that made a lot of sense, right? With Cade Anderson, Anthony Ianson, and Chase Shores. But who's going to be the guys that are going to be pitching on Tuesday and Wednesday? That's definitely a big question that I got for Cokie.
You mentioned last hour, too, you know, some guys didn't even pitch this past weekend for the Tigers.
Right.
And a guy even, I think you're going to have to see Gavin Guidry in one of these games.
Oh, yeah.
Tuesday or Wednesday. We'll get some action. I was shocked that, you know, he didn't get any play in, you know, these games. It wasn't needed, though. Jay Johnson's got a lot to play with in these games coming up against Southern tomorrow. That's a 2:00 first pitch. You can hear on the Bet New Orleans 92.9 FM and 1350 AM. Also, the Odyssey app, of course. And then Wednesday's matchup is at Nichols, and I think that is a 7:00 first pitch at night.
6:30
first pitch. Okay.
I mean. Like I kind of projected, I think Cowan's going to be one of them, the Wofford transfer, just because he was an ace on his staff. He's been a starting pitcher for a while. He threw a ton of innings last year for Wofford. I think he'll probably be a midweek starter for this Tiger team right off the bat. And then it's about who that next guy is. And my guess is Connor Ware, the JUCO transfer, left-handed pitcher. But at the same time, I'm sure you'll probably see a lot of guys that got some run this weekend, you know, get an inning or two, you know, during the midweek, just kind of keep them fresh and keep them rolling. Because you have so many different talented pitchers that threw innings this past weekend, like, you can still throw them for an inning or two during the midweek, and they'll still be fine to go for next weekend against Omaha. So just kind of get into the groove of things. The biggest kind of early impression for me, Steve, is this bullpen is going to be fantastic, I think. Now, we'll see once we get into SEC play, and you're playing some elite offenses every single weekend. But just early on, it's can't really say enough good things.
Right. Tigers lived up to the hype so far of what we were, you know, hoping for going into this season. Definitely, like you said, keeping, you know, expectations a little, you know, keeping calm right now. Like you mentioned, the competition isn't quite there. Purdue Fort Wayne is no powerhouse. Although, you know, these matchups against the in-state rivalries like a Southern and Nichols will definitely be interesting. Southern was able to take down the Tigers last season in Alec Box Stadium.
Right. And like you mentioned, they didn't go to one of these early week one tournaments like some of these other teams. Like,
sure.
I think Texas and Oklahoma State and Arizona and Clemson and Ole Miss, they all just got done playing a tournament out in Arlington. So, yes, LSU was not involved in one of those. They started their weekend, or they started their 2025 campaign at home in the friendly confines of the box.
A cold, you know, Alec Box.
Yeah, no, for sure. I remember last year, Steve, I went to opening weekend. They played Central Arkansas for one of those games. I think it was like the Saturday game, and it was freezing cold. I remember specifically going out there with my buddies, and it was frigid. But it'll definitely warm up. We're in baseball season right now, and, you know, really looking forward to seeing what this team does this year.
Not this weekend, but next weekend. You mentioned one of those in-season tournaments. The Tigers will be at the Frisco College Baseball Classic. That's Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and they'll be taking on Kansas State, Nebraska, and Sam Houston there.
Yeah, Nebraska's an interesting one. UL's actually hosting Nebraska this upcoming weekend. They're a top 25 team. So that's kind of, I think, the first real test, I would say, for this team. Kansas State as well from the Big 12. Sam Houston's got a good program. But, yeah, I'm looking forward to that weekend, Frisco College Baseball Classic. It's Frisco, Texas, yeah. So a couple good opponents there. Looking forward to that. But first and foremost, sweep the week. You know, like that's what we get to do early season before SEC play. It's almost kind of like I was joking with you, Steve, a couple weeks ago that we're always waiting for LSU baseball season to get here. But once it gets here, you're like, okay, when does SEC play get here? It's kind of the same thing with football.
Right.
Like the NFL,
yeah.
We're always waiting for the NFL season to get here. Preseason starts and like, okay, when does the regular season starts? Like, when does the real when does real football get going?
Right, you're jonesing for the NFL so much, and then preseason finally does come, and you're like, gosh, I can't stand preseason football.
Yeah, give me the real thing.
Oh, 3650 on our Oakenheart Jewelers talking text line telling us, Charlie, slow your roll on praising LSU baseball this early. I remember this time last season, all the experts said how great they were and what happened at the end of the season. No Omaha. Yeah, we know. We know. Believe me, that's why we're tempering our expectations right now, but definitely a nice start for this LSU baseball team to start the year. You can only, you know, go ahead with the games we've seen so far.
Yeah, you wanted to see a dominant performance from them against, you know, lesser competition, and you saw dominant performances against lesser competition.
Right, they weren't eking these games out against Purdue Fort Wayne.
Yeah, and we've said that before. You know, yes, the level of competition is one thing, but just, I mean, we're only evaluating what we've seen, and I saw some dominant pitching. And when we were talking with Ben McDonald entering the year, that's something that he had mentioned, is that it's going to have a lot of new faces. A lot of faces that, you know, maybe missed some time last year but are making their return for 2025, like a Chase Shores. But the talent on this pitching staff is up there with anybody in the country. I think Arkansas probably has the best pitching staff in the country, is because they always do. I mean, they're just loaded with arms every single year. But that was the one thing that stood out when we were talking with Big Ben. The amount of pitchers that they have at their disposal is what's going to make this pitching staff so good. It doesn't have a Paul Skeens on it, because Paul Skeens is one of a kind. However, when you look at the depth of it and the amount of players that you can bring out of the bullpen, especially once you get into SEC play, it's a dangerous group. That's all I'll say. So I'm really looking forward to it.
Speaking of Paul Skeens, I'd sent you that tweet from earlier on. Paul Skeens is experimenting with a cutter and a running two-seamer this spring. So beware batters. Awesome stuff from the Hoss. That is Paul Skeens. Looking forward to seeing his sophomore season in the MLB and what he can do with the Pirates.
He's experimenting with a cutter and a two-seamer,
yeah.
You said? Yeah, good luck. Good luck, hitters. Paul Skeens is so fun to watch.
They just showed him toying with one of the batters. He had thrown like 102 and then had a changeup right after for like 88 miles an hour. And it's like, that's why it's the hardest thing to do in sports is hitting a baseball.
He's one of the best pitchers in the MLB already. And he started his career in May of last year. But entering the season, nobody has higher expectations than Paul Skeens for as far as on the mound goes, for especially the NL. Skeens is going to light it up this year. I can't wait to follow it.
We'll get into a lot of things even more as we go on in the show. LSU basketball, the men's team had a big win. Unfortunately, the women did not get a victory this weekend. The LSU gymnastics team's got a big victory, taking down the number one team in the nation in Oklahoma and getting ready for Saints football. The coaching search is on right now. We're going to take a break when we get back for the offensive-defensive coordinator search. Also talking cap situation. Matthew Paris, Saints beat reporter for the Times-Picayune and the Advocate, will join us, help him break all that down right after this. So stay tuned on WWL.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet, and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Welcome back into Sports Talk here on WWL. You can sound off on the Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and text line. It's 504-260-1870. Now joining us, though, on our Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and text line, Matthew Paris, Saints beat reporter for the Times-Picayune and the Advocate. Hope your Super Bowl weekend was great, Matthew. How you doing? Surviving after the first weekend we had with no football?
Yeah, it was pretty good. Went to Ocean Springs, Mississippi, and had a nice little getaway. So nice to have a relaxing weekend after the hectic stuff.
Yeah, even when we're trying to get a relaxing weekend, there's always something Saints seems to be going on. Right now, you know, we know the head coach is in place with Kellen Moore, but the interview process now for offensive and defensive coordinator is now taking the spotlight on in the Saints scene. I know they were busy this weekend interviewing a few guys for the OC and DC spots. What do we know more about any of the interviews? Do you think that they're closer to making a decision in the coming days?
Yeah, I mean, I would imagine they would be hired this week. The combine is next week, and
right.
Well, Kellen Moore said at his press conference that you know, it doesn't have to be settled by then. I think most teams would want it to be settled. So, you know, they've interviewed Brandon Staley for defensive coordinator and Doug Nussmeier for offensive coordinator. Those two have been largely seen as kind of the front runners. There have been some other candidates mixed in there as well who are kind of interesting. But, you know, we'll see what happens just because, you know, we saw the Saints head coaching search take twists and turns. So we don't know what will happen for sure with these coordinators. But it seems like they're making good progress on it.
Yeah, I saw that Christian Parker also interviewed for the D.C. spot for the Saints as well. What do we know about this guy?
Yeah, he very sharp, young, rising coach. You know, you look at the Eagles secondary this last year, much improved. Some of that had to do with the youth injection they had, but seems to be kind of an up-and-comer in the Fangio tree, and they speak very highly of him. You know, if he doesn't get this defensive coordinator job, I don't think it's long until he gets one. He's one of the rising stars around the league, I think.
Is this something you feel like that the Saints are going to be switching schemes defensively, you know, from the 4-3 to the 3-4, it seems, you know, a few of the guys they're interviewing follow that makeup.
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, that's one of the interesting things about Kellen Moore is we don't really know what he prefers or what he doesn't. Now, he said he'd be open to either scheme, and truthfully, a lot of schemes. I mean, 3-4 teams go to 4-3 looks, like in nickel and stuff. But there are some personnel differences, particularly with the defensive linemen. And you think about how the Saints have kind of had these smaller defensive tackles of late in the Dennis Allen era. Maybe that changes it. It really kind of remains to be seen. But if they do adopt a 3-4, I think they would have to make some potential changes.
I know the DC job is probably a little bit more important here, Matthew, but the OC job is also very fascinating. And one name that popped up was Jamal Singleton, Eagles assistant head coach and running backs coach for this vacant OC job. You know, kind of, I talked with Mike Dettillier earlier on about this, and Mike gave a great bite about how he's kind of a rising star in the coaching profession, kind of like you mentioned with Parker earlier, but just on the offensive side of the ball. But kind of, what are your thoughts on Jamal Singleton?
Yeah, he's a guy I truthfully hadn't really thought of just because I thought Nussmeier, you know, if you look at Nussmeier specifically, he's followed Kellen Moore from stop to stop, like, you know, from Dallas to Los Angeles to Philadelphia. So it seems to be his guy. I would be kind of really surprised if it is Singleton, but I do think it's an interesting name. You know, I saw the Adam Schefter quote of the Eagles executive gave to Schefter rather about him being a rising star in the coaching in the coaching ranks. And so, you know, we'll see. I mean, that's going to be the tension here, right? Is Kellen Moore being from the Eagles got to know some of their coaches and probably wants to bring some of these guys. And it's a case of whether, you know, the Eagles let it happen. Now, fortunately for the Saints, the Eagles can't block coordinator promotions. So they have that going for them if Kellen Moore really sets his sights on someone with the Eagles.
One of the guys that has been hired by the Saints so far is the Chase Haslett, tight ends coach, according to league sources. Son of Jim Haslett, obviously Saints fans familiar with him, was with the team from 2000 to 2005. And Haslett had been with the Dallas Cowboys his entire coaching career. Now making his way to New Orleans. What do you make of this one? Is it just another one that a guy that's familiar with Coach Kellen Moore, someone that, you know, he's bringing in here that he's spent time with already?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's common around the league is you bring guys, you know, if you look at the Bears defensive staff right now, Dennis Allen has brought some of his guys with him to Chicago. So those type of things happen across the league. I think, you know, the guy he's replacing, Clancy Barone, did a really nice job with the tight ends. You know, that was a position that kind of had some, you think about Juwan Johnson's rise and those sorts of things, are getting more production out of Taysom Hill. I mean, that's a group that didn't necessarily have a lot of star power, but still got solid production anyway. So I'm interested to see, you know, what the change brings, but it is good for Kellen Moore to bring people that he is familiar with.
We just heard from Moore this past week, his introductory press conference. I know some things stood out there, like saying he wants to, you know, stress defenses with the Saints offense. I was just wondering, what are some of the other points that Kellen Moore hit on that really stood out to you in his introductory press conference?
Yeah, I mean, besides Derek Carr, which I'm sure has led segments on your guys' show all week, I'll go with the tempo. I mean, that's been a staple of Kellen Moore's offense throughout his tenure. Is he likes to push the pace. They rank top 10 in offenses no matter where he's gone. I thought what he had to say about, like, what type of smart football players he looks for is interesting. Kind of the people who like excel in situational moments and kind of had a heads up about them. It's just because we really don't know what type of player that Kellen Moore wants. And, you know, the Saints still have most of their front office in place. So are they going to be looking for different types of players, different types of architects? I'm just interested to see how they blend Kellen Moore's philosophies with that, because I do think he'll have a pretty big say in personnel.
Matthew, before I get to some combine stuff, because I do want to get your thoughts a little bit early on the Saints' options at pick 9. I know we're a couple of months away from the draft, but the big challenge of this entire offseason is what it's been for basically the last few offseasons, is that they're $54 million in the hole right now via over the cap. And I heard, you know, earlier last week it kind of made some rounds on social media from NFL Network's Ian Rapoport about Taysom Hill. And he said, quote, they have a decision coming on Taysom Hill. Hard to imagine he'll be back on the Saints in New Orleans, but I guess anything is possible. And over the cap has Taysom Hill's cap hit for 2025 at $17.9 million, just under $18 million. What do you think about Taysom Hill's future here? I know that he obviously has a future in the NFL. He's going to be 35 by the time the season starts, coming off a major ACL tear in early December. But what are your thoughts on Taysom and kind of his future with the Saints?
Yeah, I mean, if they did want to try and cut salary, I think that would be a position, that would be a person to do so. Like, you can clear out $10 million with the post-June 1 cut. Now, they have to be careful with these post-June 1 cuts, because they're going to have to, you only get two of them. And one of those spots is likely going to be on Ramchek. So you kind of have to be careful, you have to be careful of who you choose versus who you don't. But, I mean, I don't know necessarily that, you know, Kellen Moore did seem pretty fired up about having Taysom Hill. You know, he gave more of an enthusiastic about Taysom Hill than I think Derek Carr. But that, you know, the knee injury is such a big deal for him, because, you know, it's not just a torn ACL, but he reportedly suffered additional ligament damage, which would, in theory, put the timeline, you know, it would make it more complicated than just your traditional ACL recovery. We saw that with Chase Young when he was in Washington, and he suffered his serious knee injury. So I don't know Taysom Hill's future. We haven't heard much from him, but if the Saints do move on, that would certainly make sense.
And then, you know, you mentioned Kellen Moore's comments about Derek Carr, and he basically said the same thing on a different interview, which tells you that he kind of had these pre-written out notes, and we're going to give him time to decide what he wants to do with Derek Carr. But I just mentioned Taysom Hill's cap hit for this upcoming season is just under 17 or just under 18. Derek Carr's cap number is $51 million for 2025. Now, a restructure is possible, but, you know, a potential separation is also possible. And I think it's being kept very close to vest early on, but I just want to get your kind of gauge on that.
Yeah, it just really depends on what type of team the Saints want to be and where they see their future. I mean, they can get out of the contract in 2026 and save, I can't remember the figure off the top of my head, my apologies, but, you know, they can save more money than that they would be able to this year. But by doing it this year, they can just wipe the slate clean for 2026. And so it would take that would be a huge move to kind of reset for the future and just kind of clear things with your books. And I do think that makes a lot of sense, just because, like, where are you going with Derek Carr? I mean, I think he played really well last year, but they still went 5-5 in those games. Obviously, they were 0-7 without him, so they missed him. But it's a tough decision, but I wouldn't be surprised if they moved on just because of what it could do for your cap in the future.
Curious your thoughts on this. Did you find it curiously odd that Derek Carr was nowhere to be seen Super Bowl week in New Orleans?
No. I mean, no, just because of, you know, if he does the radio row rounds, everyone's going to be asking the same question of, you know, what do you think your future is with the Saints? I probably would ask him about his pay cut comments. I get why he kept a low profile, and you know, he wasn't at the opening press conference, but that doesn't really surprise me, just because of, you know, it's February, guys are on vacation, and even in the space the Saints had the press conference, there wasn't really much room for players. Like, I don't think any players were there for Kellen Moore's introductory press conference, but I know that Eric McCoy at least greeted him in a behind the scenes video. So I'm sure the process has already been starting, meeting with certain guys. But yeah, I'm not, to answer your question directly, I'm not surprised.
Yeah, to me, it might be, I'm reading too much into things and trying to make, start brewing some conspiracy theories here.
Like a drama, Steve.
Yeah, I just thought it was odd. But, like, you know, there's a Super Bowl in New Orleans. We didn't see Derek Carr at all. I don't know.
Right. Well, I mean, they use Sean Payton as the New Orleans stand-in for next to Gail Benson because they didn't have a coach yet. So things were, I think, a work in progress during that time for the Saints.
And then, Matthew, as I mentioned earlier, we're 10 days away from the NFL Combine. I'm really looking forward to seeing a lot of these guys out there. But, you know, just get your early thoughts on the draft, because when you're the Saints team and you have so many holes at so many different positions, I know we already had someone clamoring for them to trade back, you know, later into the first round and get some extra draft assets, which would make sense to me. But I think this is an interesting draft where even at pick 9, you're not going to get kind of the top 3 blue chip prospects. They'll all be gone. And Travis Hunter and Abdul Carter and obviously Mason Graham as well, they'll all be gone by pick 5. But I think there are still a few good players that will be there at pick 9 if you want to go take them. So my early kind of question ahead of this 10 days away from the combine for you is, who are you kind of keeping an eye out at the combine, and who do you think Saints fans should kind of have on their radar, so to speak, ahead of the event?
Yeah, I haven't truthfully haven't done a ton of research on the pool of prospects quite yet. I know the Arizona State receiver kid, the McMillan, is you know, an interesting name to watch just because of his skill set, and I think he could really compliment someone like Chris Olave and Rashid Shaheed when they're both healthy. But besides him, I mean, I would just say generally there's so much defensive line help in this draft, and I think that that's a big thing for the Saints. I mean, I read that I think there are 41 different defensive linemen invited to the combine this year, and last year there was only 29. So that just speaks to the depth of that position, and it's a position for the Saints specifically that they really kind of need to hone.
Matthew, definitely appreciate the time. What you got in the works that people can check out on NOLA.com soon?
Keeping things close to the vest right now.
Okay.
Trying to find out the big hey, we're trying to I'm trying to think of the next big story idea. So truthfully, I don't have much right now, but keeping our eyes on the monitor or on the coordinator search and figuring out where they go from there.
Always great stuff on there. Appreciate it, Matthew, and definitely check out your work at NOLA.com, and you can follow him at Matthew_Paris, P-A-R-A-S, on Twitter or X, whatever you want to call it. Appreciate the time, Matthew.
Yeah, thanks, Jeff.
Matthew Paris, Saints beat reporter for the Times-Picayune and the Advocate, joining us there, helping us get any kind of insights on this black and gold bunch as they piece together now this coaching staff under Kellen Moore. I got a feeling we're going to be hearing things tomorrow or Wednesday. Just feels like the process is going to be wrapped up soon, because we keep talking about the combine is approaching, folks. It is next week where the folks will be checking out all the players on display as we get ready for the NFL draft. You can sound off here on the Oaken Heart Jewelers Talk and Text Line 504 866-260-1870. What do you think about Kellen Moore? Who should be his assistants? Or maybe some ideas about that number 9 overall pick in the first round. We'll be right back with more after this on Sports Talk. Stay tuned. LSU baseball's back, folks. The Purple and Gold are back tomorrow to take on Southern. Pre-game's 1:30. First pitch at 2 over on our sister station, The Bet, 92.9 FM, 1350 AM, and streaming on the Odyssey app. Checking now in our Oakland Heart Jewelers talk and text line, which you can as well, 504-260-1870. David in Gulf Shores says Derek Carr needs to go. What you got, David?
Man, I got to tell you guys, first of all, that guest you just had on, I don't know where he was coming from, but he didn't know what he was talking about. Number two, I got 6 season tickets. I don't know. The fans of New Orleans, man, we have got to make a big change with this draft. Getting rid of Taysom Hill and keeping Derek Carr is idiotic. I don't care if Derek Carr, if Taysom Hill got one leg, I would keep him. There's no way in the world, marketing-wise, that would be a death knell. And I got to tell you something, you guys got to get some of these callers on. We're dying out here. You know, we got tickets in our hand. We don't know if we need to renew them or not. We are upset. We've gone through 4 or 5 bad years, and this draft is critical. And I would not keep Derek Carr under any circumstance, even if it was just a marketing ploy, to say we're going in a different direction and hang our hat on Spencer, and maybe it'll pick up, like Mike Dettillier says, so maybe we'll pick up a veteran quarterback or somebody going forward. But we have got to make a wholesale change now. We can't stomach another year. This idea of hanging in there for another year, I guarantee you they won't do that because season tickets are failing. I mentioned, I called you guys a while ago. I said, I got a call this year. First time ever the Saints have ever called me. There's 30,000 people on the email on the waiting list. Mm-hmm. I got a call this year saying, hey, you want to buy some tickets? You want to buy some more tickets? We know you got 6. You want some more? They called me. That tells me that they're having problems. They're going to make a change. They got to make a change. And it's going to hit them in the way. People are going to vote with their wallets.
Yeah.
And they're not going to renew their tickets. So that's the reason I say that. And who made the Derek Carr decision in the first place? Is that Mickey Loomis? It is a crappy decision. Why? How long do we have to live with it? It's like a bad girlfriend you can't get rid of.
Well, the Derek Carr situation at least started great this, you know, this past season. The first 2 weeks when the team was healthy, we were all, you know, getting ready, you know, singing Black and Gold Super Bowl.
Right.
And you know, unfortunately, the Eric McCoy injury in week 3 early on against the Eagles, and that's for me is when the season started to spiral out of control. I understand the fans' ire towards Derek Carr and that he is a Dennis Allen guy, that he was obviously drafted when Dennis Allen was at the Raiders. He then brought him in when he was a free agent to the New Orleans Saints. So I get that there is a lot of, you know, not happy fans that want to see Derek Carr go. I just don't know with the cap situation and the way the salary is structured if it's really feasible to move on from him at this point.
Well, I think that's why it could potentially happen, Steve, is because you are, as I mentioned with that interview with Matthew Parrish, you're $54 million over right now, and you have to figure out how to get cap compliant. Now, with Derek Carr, the cap hit is $51 million for this year.
Right.
By far and away, the most of anyone on this team. If you cut him pre-June 1st, you have $50 million of dead money, and it's only $1.3 million of cap savings. If you cut him post-June 1st, this is where it gets pretty interesting, $21 million of dead money, $30 million cap savings. So, as Paris had mentioned, you're probably going to use one of your 2 post-June 1st cuts on Ryan Ramczyk, who's going to retire.
Correct.
But Derek Carr not being on this roster is not out of the question. It's ultimately going to, I think, be up to Kellen Moore and what he wants to do for this team in his first year as an NFL head coach. The one thing that the Saints were able to sell to any coaching candidate is patience, right? Like, they know that they have a old roster that needs to be completely overhauled. And the only way, as you mentioned, David, you do that is through the draft. Thankfully, you have a couple extra picks from the Marshawn Lattimore trade this upcoming year. And it's not the best draft as far as, you know, top-end quarterback talent or anything like that. But there are still some really good pieces in this upcoming class. Mike and I will break it down more as we get closer to, you know, draft day in April. It's got some really good defensive linemen top to bottom for the first couple days, so you can absolutely help and revamp your defensive line there. You can help your offensive line maybe early on, too.
They're not getting a quarterback this draft, though.
No, you're not, but you're going to add some good young pieces like you did with like Taliese Fuaga last year, hopefully. And if you hit on the draft and add some stellar players in the first, second, third round. You have 2 third round picks as well this year. I mean, you got to start rebuilding your roster at some point.
So if Carr's not selling tickets, though, is Spencer Rattler putting butts in the seats?
I mean, I think that they're hoping Kellen Moore does.
Right.
Like, you get the hotshot young offensive coordinator in the building, and you're kind of going with the rebuild, right?
If you want to win, though, right now, wouldn't you say that Carr is your better option over Rattler?
Yeah, I would say so.
See, but that's what makes it difficult.
Right, exactly. And so we'll see what they ultimately decide to do, because there is a lot of vitriol in this fan base towards Derek Carr. Trust me.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
It's out there. And so, but I'm just telling people right now, that's the cap implications for Derek Carr pre and post June 1st if they decide to cut him. It's a little bit complicated because they are so heavily over the cap right now that they have to get cap compliant ahead of the league new year. It's just a lot of moves need to be made. And, you know, I understand why a lot of fans want Derek Carr out the building.
I get it, too. We are going to take a break. Be back with more sports talk as we wrap up the 6 o'clock hour right after this on WWL. Well, folks, who has wanted to ride in a carnival parade? Well, WWL's got your tickets with the crew of Argus on Mardi Gras Day. Ride high atop a float with everything you need, costumes and throws for two, and it's all free. Just go to WWL.com/contest for your chance to win the ride of a lifetime to the greatest free show on earth. Powered in part by Honda of Covington, Laissez Le Bon Ton Roulet with WWL. Taking a break for the top of the hour news. Coming back, talking some LSU baseball. Cokie Riley, who writes for the Times-Picayune and the Advocate, will join us helping break down LSU's opening weekend sweep over Purdue Fort Wayne. Back right after this on Sports Talk. Stay tuned, folks.
Ah, can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Marketers, are you ready to make an impact with audio advertising? People are hungry for authentic connections in a world buzzing all around us. How do you cut through the noise and truly reach your audience? Visit stateofaudio.com to see Odyssey State of Audio, the Trends Report. Uncover the secrets to high-impact creative. Learn how AI is revolutionizing the industry. And get ahead of the curve on measurement and audience trends. Don't just stay in the game. Win it. Visit stateofaudio.com and download your free copy.